What's up, everybody? My name is CJ Garcia, and this is the Word of Mouth Podcast, the podcast that is here to help equip and to motivate you to get the word in your mouth. Come on, somebody. What's up, everybody, on the Word of Mouth Podcast? This is CJ Garcia himself. The only one that's going to get that right is probably my brother-in-law, Joe Zerpoli, who's here with us today. And, of course, I've got my good friend, Izzy Hogan. We wanted to do a podcast together and just kind of do some talking, just kind of mess around, do what we can, and see what comes out about it. I'm excited to see what's going to happen. But, Joe, why don't you say hi to the people?
Hello, peeps.
And Izzy?
Hey.
Anyway, man, so we're here in my church. We're excited. There's a lot of good things going on. I know it's been a while since I've done a podcast, and I know I did a preview. I was going to do an episode on Catholicism, on a Doctrines of Devils, on the Catholicism. I just haven't really gotten too much information on it. But nonetheless, I wanted to do an episode with my good friends while we're here. We have Izzy preaching tomorrow. And Jay-Z just had a baby. Come on, somebody. Awesome. 2-week-old tomorrow, huh?
Yeah.
Awesome. Little cash. Little cash, man. I'm excited.
Cash money.
No, you don't got no cash. That's the problem. Cash is taking all his cash.
Out of cash now.
But, man, so, you know, Izzy was talking about he wanted to do something like first-time fathers or something like that.
Yeah, I know. It was just messing around with Brother Joe's report.
Yeah, see, I told you we lied to you.
No, I was telling CJ that me and my brother Kevin wanted to start a podcast called First Time Fathers, just for fathers who are what would you need to hear for the first time? You know, like, just as a father, like, people don't, there's all kinds of these stuff out there for women, right? All these reels and blogs, and obviously dudes don't really be, we ain't gonna be reading all that stuff, right?
No.
But it would just be a funny way to, like, stuff that maybe as a father you didn't expect.
Sure. Like being peed on all the time.
Yeah, like being the one that gets chose. Like, I got thrown up on so many different ways.
Oh, my word, dude. That ain't no lie.
It would be more or less more humor in that side. But also, like, at the same time, like, just a quick little, you know, maybe some tidbits of advice or just little, you know, sharing stories that maybe somebody could glean out. So I was telling her that we wanted to do that. Just for a fun side project, because there's really nothing like that for guys, right?
True dad.
That's a neat idea.
Yeah.
They got all these books for girls and first-time mothers. And
honestly, most guys, we probably still wouldn't read them anyways, right?
Yeah.
They did.
That's the truth.
But if it was a funny, and it wouldn't be long, like 10, 15 minutes. You know, just a quick little.
It's cool.
Because guys, I mean, unless it's some, you know, about the Roman Empire or some biblical stuff, or it's like we won't listen to it all day long. But
sure.
Something to be humorous. But also,
but I mean, I like comedy stuff. So if it was a comedy thing, I mean, just humorous all the whole time, I would laugh. I'd enjoy it.
And I was just telling him, say, you know, he talked about doing a podcast. I was like, man, we should probably talk to Zerpoli about being a first-time father.
How's it going, though? I mean.
Yeah, we're 14 days in tomorrow. It's going good. It's kind of surreal. There are times where I forget I'm a father. I'm supposed to be watching him.
See, first time fathers.
I look up from my laptop in panic mode.
Oh, snap.
When I remember. But thankfully, he's still alive, so that's good.
Well, praise God. That's the whole point, right, is to keep him alive somehow. Right. I just had my little baby, too, my first little girl. Man, you know what's crazy is when I started this podcast, I was barely having Azariah. And, man, that's almost 7 years. That's crazy, dude. Wow. No. No. He had to be like one or two. I remember because we would do it upstairs in my house, and there'd be chaos just going all about with all the kids. Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, but man, but seriously, like I remember episodes where I'd be like, "Yeah, I'm having my second born, and now I have my third. I have two boys and one little girl." And
how did you have like your that? Most guys, like for me, people talk about like, when you see your child, and I was so scared of like, of that moment, like if I didn't have the right reaction. Like, you'll be like everybody talks about this surreal moment, right?
Absolutely.
And so I was so afraid, like, what if, because everybody already thinks like I have no emotions. So I was like, this is the test. You know, like, it's like, am I not going to respond correctly? Like, am I, for lack of a better term, like a sociopath? You'll be like, that doesn't have that. You know
sure.
What I mean?
I had a bit of anxiety about that, mainly with my wife. I wanted to. Make sure I had the right reaction.
Right.
But, I mean, in the moments, like, you're not thinking of faking anything. Right. You're just thinking of like, I guess what I was thinking was I had mad respect for my wife, what she went through, you know, and then when you see the baby for the first time, it's just all like kind of a
shocker type.
Yeah, it's a shock. It's like you're in a dream world.
Yeah,
it's just surreal.
I actually didn't get to hold the baby. Actually, my wife's sister, your wife, CJ,
got to hold
Cash before I did. But so it was probably almost an hour in before I actually held him.
Did they try talking you into that skin to skin while you were in there?
Bro. They didn't talk me into it personally, but I thought that was just kind of a baby and mom thing, but come to find out, I guess it's with everybody.
Yeah, I literally told the nurses, she's like, "You want to do some skin to skin with your daughter?" And I said, "No, I ain't taking my shirt off in front of y'all. Like, my wife has to see that junk. Forget that."
I was like, "If you go get plenty of that at home."
Exactly.
Like, yeah, not right
we're not
now.
Doing all that sure. Right
I'm
now.
Like, let the one that's already just had the baby hold the baby, you know?
No, dude, like, in that, like you mentioned something about like how your wife, like, I don't know about for you, like, I felt like such a connection with my wife like never before.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, that's like going through something like that with someone, you know what I mean?
And, for sure.
And it's just like a whole different level of like, I guess it's appreciation, love, but it's just the connection is just stronger. Like, it was just like something that you know, it's not that you didn't love her. Obviously, you did. But it's like, obviously, how could you be connected in that depth until something like that happens?
Sure.
Right?
Sure. Yeah, for me, that's interesting that you describe it that way. For me, I think it was probably, I mean, it was, I think they said 17 hours or something. So that, I walked away from that thinking this is the worst experience of my life. Like, and it's not even me that's right. In the labor, but I'm just sitting there. You're sitting there watching your wife in pain. There's nothing you can do about it. And she says, "Oh, I couldn't have done it without you." But the reality is, yes, you could have, and you would have. Like, you didn't have a choice. Yeah.
But you know what's crazy to think about? Me and Sarah were talking about it, was that there are, you know, unfortunately, in this day and age, there are ladies that have to do it by themselves because the fathers aren't even there.
Yeah, I can't imagine. And,
but the nurse staff was great, bro. The nurse, I don't know about y'all, but for me, the nursing just, they did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, they were great. I just, I was glad for it to be over.
They didn't believe my wife was about to have the baby. That's the problem with the nurse staff. As far as that was, I said, "Hey, my wife's got to push." And they're like, "Okay." I'm like, "Come in."
Yeah, all of that stuff to me was just like, man.
Did you feel like as a man, like, I love the fact, not only do I like to control things, but that I can be controlled.
Sure.
But in that moment, like, how not in control you are?
Yeah, not at all.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just, it was like a weird feeling for me. Like I was really at the mercy
of
everyone in there, because I don't, obviously I'm not a doctor, like I don't know what's going on, I don't know what's right. And then I'm also, as much as help I can be for my wife, like you said, there's a limit to that.
Yeah.
So it's like you're really in this weird space, like you want to help but you can't.
Yeah.
So you're like you're like
and that, everything you say, yeah, and you're getting ticked.
Yeah, it's like it's probably not helpful to speak, but please be in here. But speak,
for real, man.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But it's just like it was a weird feeling for me of like of vulnerability,
sure,
that I had never experienced before.
I think it's cool. I love hearing your story about it. For me, I guess I thought like, I don't have a choice, so I like have to surrender to this process. Right. And so I think mentally I was there, like surrendered, just like, I think it's probably a lot to do with age.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I didn't have a baby 15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that would have really been, you know, I really would have had control issues or right. whatever. But I think like, it's like, just be chill about it. Like, yeah. You're right. I'm not in control. I've never been a dad before. It's funny people say, it's funny people always say, hey, man, there is absolutely nothing you can do to prepare for a baby. And so I took that to heart, and that's what I did. Nothing. Yeah, like, I did nothing.
Why try? Right? I mean, they told me I can.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I just honestly just surrendered to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of like, well, you helped me with that is because I was at your church a couple of weeks ago. You were telling me, look, man, just take it one day at a time.
Just like submit
step by
to
step.
It.
Don't even question, what if this? Yeah. What if I'm not a good father? What if this? It's day by day. It's just like minute by minute, you know? It's not a big deal.
Yeah. To me is what that taught me was like in those moments, like when she was about to have, like, because I'm that person, like I like to like, I, my wife's protector, I'm this. So it's like I have that side of me that really wanted, but just being so like, that somebody is like, I had to learn that real quick. It's just, I got to kind of just like submit to the moment, submit to the space, submit to what's happening. And like, I think I was mentioning just like even when he's up fussy, like right, like literally this past couple weeks, he's gotten to this weird pattern. And it's like, I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning, just playing toys with him. Cause he's just,
oh man,
he's just awake. You know, it's like, that's just what, wow. For 15 minutes, and he's tired, and he wants to go back to sleep. It's like, he'll just get up, just get the spurt energy, and just go, to deliver him. He wants to go. And so it's like, I could be frustrated about that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I could be upset about it, or I could just submit to the moment and be like, you know what I mean? Let's go play with these
toys.
I like, can't even see. You got the sleeper bars, you know what I mean? But it's like, all right, bro.
I respect that, because that's easier said than done.
It is.
It's like, to not get caught up or not get, you know, anxious or what, it's like,
or even angry,
take it as or angry.
I mean, I remember one time there was a time where I, because everybody tells you, hey, no baby's ever died from crying, you know, and that's true. I mean, as far as it is, like, they don't cry, you know, they cry. And but what babies have died from is dads getting angry because they can't figure out what's wrong with the child, and so they shake the baby, but that's because we, I mean, even the Bible says, lift up your hands holy without wrath or doubting. We're just known for wrath. And so I remember, man, one time, I think I was by myself, Azzy's my firstborn. And dude, there was nothing I could do to like soothe him to, it was nothing. He just cried and cried and cried. I probably wanted his mom for sure. but man, I just remember in that moment, because before I would thought, I'm not going to shake my child. I'm not going to be angry like that. Like, you don't think like that. But in the moment, you're like, I can see where I'm getting angry. Right. And so I just said bye. And I just walked away, you know, but I came back more refreshed.
Right. You recognize what's happening in you internally.
It's weird. That.
And I think to me, this is where like we begin to, any type of spiritual things, like why I'm like, you waited forever. I'm 40 years old to have a kid. Right.
Mm.
And it's like, I've always wondered, I've always asked God why for everything. Like, just, I'm just that person. It got me in trouble a lot when I was young, because like, if you can't tell me why, because I said so, if you just say that, if you say that, I'm just checked out. Like, you don't know why either. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's like, so I asked God, like, you know, I wanted to know why family, why children, why all this stuff. Like, why did you pick this for a reason? You picked this model, right? This family structure. You picked it. You structured it. You created it for a reason. You did this for a reason.
Yes.
And I think what we're talking about is kind of what God began to slowly reveal to me, and is the perfecting as a man, the anger, the things like,
yes,
God uses these things to continue to perfect us, because there is no greater marker of even holiness or your reflection of your pursuit of Christ than with your family.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's just none.
Yeah.
And so how you treat your children, how you speak to them, how you respond to that, how you to your wife, like, that is the first place for you to show the love of God, the love of, you know, and
that's
you,
true.
And so it's like, this is why he chose that. It's like, this is a way for you to continue. So as a man, I get some, you know, there's some that are called to, people say they're called to be single and all that. Paul was, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I would tell you, and I would argue, that without a family, it is really hard to be completely mature as a Christian, because there's no getting away from that everyday process of, you know what I'm saying, like
refining.
It's a constant, and it's like, to me is where, like, that's what's helped me with just looking at my family in a way of like, oh, God's using you too.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're in this together. God's going to use me in your life, but he's using you in my life as well. Mm-hmm. And so my son is a vessel of God to help perfect me.
Amen.
I'm a vessel in his life to help perfect him, my wife. And so it's the same thing. It's a symbiotic organism that God is using for it. So it's like, now I can look at my family with the proper view, and it helps me with the patience. It helps me with the... Because how am I going to be yelling out his mom in front of him? How am I going to be, you know, doing all these kind of things? And it's like,
even as far, I remember one time I just kept getting angry at Azzy for doing the same thing over and over again. The Lord just kind of like convicted me. He's like, that's what you've been doing to me. Like, all right, God. Like, you know, as a father figure to me, he's been trying to tell me that, but using my child as that example.
It's wonderful. He does answer our deepest prayers, our heart's prayers to say, Lord, make me like you. Yeah. And that's a huge way that he does it right there. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's God, obviously God knows what he's doing. And I think it's maybe why the enemy attacks the family structure so much.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like when a family can, look what he's done with families through the whole since the beginning of time.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He chooses families.
Yes.
And he works through them. And some people may not like that. Mm-hmm. Some people may not like the fact that God places a certain family somewhere and says, if you're obedient and you do what you need to do, and I'll do your family, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's such a spiritual thing. And I wanted myself, like I waited forever just cause like I wanted to understand.
Yeah. Amen.
So I can do it right.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to know why. So I'm not just out here just, oh, they're so cute. Like, that goes by quick.
No joke.
We're a lot alike in that I want it to come to me in its time. Mm. I don't want to force it. I don't want to rush it. I want to come to an understanding. And it was kind of that way where the place in life is just like you hit a brick wall and you know there's more. You know God's called you to more. And the next step is more responsibility.
Right.
The thing with men is like, you know, one of the things, you know, the fall in the garden was passivity. Mm-hmm. Passivity gets you nowhere. And men tend to be passive.
Yep.
Tend to, you know, that it is a heavy weight of responsibility that we're called to as leaders. We're just called to be leaders. Every man is.
Right.
You know, and so it's like, you don't sometimes your flesh doesn't want anything to do with leading sometimes, because leading's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And but the reality is that's what God's called us to do. And I agree, like, he teaches us through families. Mm-hmm. it was kind of that point, you know, people ask you, I bet you wish you got married sooner. I bet you wish you had a baby sooner. No, I don't. No, I
mean, that's the same thing with you, yeah.
I was just telling him that earlier. Some people say the same thing, like, oh, don't you wish you had? I was like, no, because first of all, I wouldn't be him.
Yeah.
It'd be somebody totally different. But I wasn't ready, you know, but it also, like you said, I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to like be in the right season, the right time.
Amen.
And but I mostly I have a whole lot of reason, even more like things I had to work through to become, you know, where I needed to be. But it's like it's this element that I think even young men in our society, going back to the passivity, like it is such a strong responsibility that takes a lot of lift. And a lot of, like, you know, and either we have two extremes. Either we don't think it's that big of a responsibility, so young men just jump into it,
mm-hmm.
or we don't want to take the responsibility on at all.
Mm, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like they either, like, oh, it's just whatever. I just got a girl. We'll just have kids. You know, it's like it's either that extreme, or they don't realize what the responsibility is, or we don't want to even bother with that because we know what it. Like, we have to become, you know what I mean? We have to become.
Sure.
You know, and I think that's where we're failing with a lot of men in our society today, especially the younger generation. Like, they don't want to.
Think about that. That's so interesting. He's called us to become. I've got to become more. Mm. This walk with God is a constant, like, growing, which should be, maturity in Christ. And if we would pay attention to those moments where we're hitting the wall in our lives, and it's like this rut that we're in.
Mm.
Like, it's probably time to take the next step.
Stretch.
You know what I mean? Stretch, yeah.
Yep.
Whatever that is, whether you're single and you have a desire in your heart to be married, well, then it's time to, you know.
Yeah.
Pursue it.
Yeah, to pursue. And or, you know, like the having a baby, starting a family, same thing.
And it's that challenge. Like you said, that brick wall that people seem to hit, like, and I'd hate to. You're turning 40, so now you're turning into the old guy. We're talking about this generation, right? That's just but their statistics prove. So I'm not just sitting here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not here on a soapbox, right?
Sure.
Statistically, it's proven that young men are not growing up.
Yeah, oh yeah, no. They would rather sit in a basement playing video games.
Just statistically, it's just they're not facing. They see the brick wall, and they'd rather say, well, it's too hard to climb.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's so.
It's too hard to break through that. But yet, as men, like as you mentioned, we're called to that leadership. We're called to do the hard things.
Yeah.
Like, and that is, if we can instill that somehow back into our young men, you know, you think about, oh, there's this book, it's called Bad Therapy, that just came out, and it's talking about how Gen Z is the most therapeutic generation that's been through every, you know, every kid, for everything they need therapy, right? And so the whole point of it is how no longer do people want to work through their problems, they just want to talk about it.
Yeah, you don't want to be a victor, you want to be the victim.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, instead of conquering it, they rather just dwell
there. It's actually kind of a cool societal thing to, you know, what is your issue? What are you going to therapy for?
Sure.
And it's like whereas
what is your crutch?
Yeah, exactly.
What's holding you back? We can understand why you're not becoming.
Exactly. Perfect opportunity for us to just sit here in our comfortability, really, is what it is. But the reality is, like, all of that you're going to find, a pastor told me, Brother Hanthorne, pastors of wonderful churches, awesome man of God, he told me our society really suffers from idealism, and social media really plays a big part in that, and that you can look and you can scroll, there's countless reels of the ideal, And you can kind of fantasize about that. And actually, that can cause you from taking the next step too.
Well, because you're not hitting that point right then and there in your life.
Right. And so we continue to wait for to take the next step. We continue to wait for marriage. That's why we get married later and later and start families later and later, if we ever even do. Because we suffer from idealism, we see everybody else, we see the perfect picture of what it's supposed to be.
Sure.
And we think, and we even think our selfishness inside of us thinks, well, I deserve that. Mm. And so I'm gonna wait until, like, I'm not gonna better myself to get to that point, but I deserve that now.
Yeah. No, yeah, no, that's
crazy.
Do you think that fantasy part of it, that you're able to maybe get a glimpse and vicariously,
yes,
get some type of satisfaction? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it's like you're dabbling in that world, but yet, so because you're it kind of satisfies something inside of us. So it's like, okay, I've mentally maybe have dabbled in that world, and so you're satisfied, so you don't necessarily feel the need to go any further.
I do believe there's some of that, but at what point do you get sick of it? Now, I'm stubborn. Like, I'm one of the most stubborn people ever.
Right.
But there comes a point where you get sick of shallow.
Sure.
You can scroll, and at some point, it's like, dude, this feels actually empty and sickening. Inside, like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I'm done with this. Let me lay this aside and go after something real, which is, of course, found in God. But I think there is some of that, like, that's kind of like sin, right? Because sin is good. It's fun for a season, and then I wake up tomorrow and I go back at it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, but at some point, it's like, all right, I got to cut this off, and I've got to do something about my life,
or else this is it.
Yeah.
Sure. And I think, unfortunately, some is where a lot of folks are just, I guess one of the part of the aspects of the book was like how people are just comfortable with that.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is it. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
There's no need to go beyond because our society has turned it into like, how to say. So for example, she used an illustration of you can't go to the store by yourself. Like, he was like telling a kid who's, you know, obviously like obviously not a baby kid, but like maybe who's 11, 12, 13, right? You can't do that. You begin to tell a kid that it can't, so they begin to believe you, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can't overcome that. You can't do that. To go out there to scary people. Wow. You can't do this. So they become like, and there's an aspect of fear of it too, but it's like they begin to develop a world where like all the things that there are people maybe are trying to use to protect is really enabling them and telling, well, I would, but they told me I can't.
Yeah.
And so I can't overcome this. I can't become. So, so I'm okay here because I'm safe here.
Yep.
And we've created a whole society where like, nobody that disc. We want to remove discomfort.
Yes.
And so if we remove discomfort and make things comfortable,
we remove responsibility. I was just thinking in that vein, like, that's it. Like, you can't do that, or let's play it safe. Let's protect. Mm. Well, then you're removing responsibility to do hard things, to grow. So I think that's why, like, I don't identify completely with it, because somewhere in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, here I am sitting around getting nothing done. Mm. It's enough of that.
Sure.
Like, I have responsibility, and other people are watching me, and other people expect of me. Like, I've got parents that wouldn't approve of me just sitting around. I've got, you know, pastors and friends that wouldn't approve of.
Right.
I got to do something. So I think there's that pressure there of, hey, you have responsibility. It's not just coming from inside, but I think
it's external and internal.
Yeah. Right? So maybe, I don't know.
But so in other words, like, when you remove the external pressure too, then the internal fortitude that it is easy to let go, right? Because we're usually our last person to push ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
True.
So when you have no external, you want me to pray, like, you need to do better. No, you're fine. You're okay. But see, here's the thing. This is what I was, this is where, okay, now you got me. All right. So this is what I was thinking about, not my rebuttal, but my, this is why I love God. Because, like, this is where all of those things, humanistic thinking, always leads to a place where it will leave man unsatisfied, empty and void.
Yes.
And so that mentality of like what we're just talking about leaves space for God. And what I mean by that is, as much as people may want to drown those that desire to do, there's going to be a voice, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to tell you. And so when people are left to, like, I have the ability to control everything, all my decisions, and you find out that you're still without the answers, and you're still left empty, and you're just like, it literally is paving the way for you to just pick up your head just a little bit.
Praise God.
And be like, maybe.
Yeah.
There's something that's needed.
Huh. Yes.
That's an extra transcendent above. And this goes back to kind of what we're talking about. What he says, that when it's the darker it is, the brighter it shines, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, so a lot of the humanistic thinking of the movement that happened, you know, 60s, 70s, we're seeing the consequences of.
Sure.
Yes.
Yep.
And so people are left hungry.
Amen. The devil plays right into God's hands every time.
Every time.
He doesn't learn. It's interesting that failure, mess ups, they will leave you feeling empty, void. I was thinking earlier today, the enemy, he's done this over and over. Well, let me get them to lie. Let me get them to cheat, steal, hate their neighbor, commit adultery, fornication. Let me get them there. And he's like, you know, I win some of those battles, but I also lose a lot of those battles because after the fact, they find God. They actually find a place where they're broken. I don't have the answers. And now, like you said, they look up. Now there's repentance.
Yep.
So I'm winning some of that, but every ground that I gain, right, I'm losing a bit of that. Yeah. And so I was just thinking today, if I were the devil, he's strategic. But I was thinking, he's even more sinister than that. And I think he even realizes that how short the time is.
Yeah.
And he's not satisfied with some people are broken because he knows some of those are going to repent. So he's like, okay, how could I really win? And he's thinking, let me step up my game here and get these people to think that they're right. Let me get somebody to get a little offended. Leave the church. They love God. They have a relationship with God. But, you know, it's kind of off with their brother, or they cut off somebody. But they know in their heart of hearts that they're right. Let me deceive them.
Yeah.
Let me step up my game. And if they see no need to repent, I got them.
Right. Yep.
I don't know how we got off
But I heard a statement, too, just recently. And it scared the snot out of me. He's just like, you know, you look at Samson. Samson, you preached on him. Lying in the lap of Delilah. And he gets up as before, but God's left him. And he doesn't even realize it. Like, that's a scary place. And with this whole idea of I'm right, God's going to be like, no, you're not right. I'm right. And you're going to end up fighting God.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose because the Bible says he'll send a strong delusion.
Sure.
That you may think you still are in the right. Yeah. And I don't ever want to think that I have the spirit, but it's left me.
No doubt. As the preacher always says, I don't know how I got off the notes here. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So that was kind of...
Sure.
But I think it's to your point.
Is that you?
No, because I was talking about how, like, the society, we're seeing the consequences, and we're bankrupt.
Yes.
we're empty, and so people are going to begin to. And I even thought about this, even in the Enlightenment way of thinking, Christianity is probably going to be one of the last things left that says, "Yes, you can." Mm-hmm. Praise God. First of all, yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Second of all, yes, it's hard.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
Yeah.
Praise God.
You know what I'm saying? Hope, like, yes, hope. There's, yes, man. You can. The God, yes, because obviously because Jesus, he made a way. So, yes, you can.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard because there's some self-denial, some things that you're going to, you know what I'm saying? But if you can muster up just enough faith and enough will.
Yeah.
It's going to be worth it.
Praise God.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, and like all of this, like I said, just we're just that way of thinking is leaving people just bankrupt. And I believe this is why in the last days there's going to be so much revival. And that's why seeing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why we're seeing it is the devil, I would like to say, worked right into that. Like he overplayed his hand in that sense. But yes. Going back to what you're saying is that's how, like, as the church, we have to be on guard that we don't be deceived.
Amen.
Because he's going to come at us with this type of way where, you know, offense or these other things, and where you think you're justified.
Yes.
Or you just, I just know I'm right, they're wrong.
Yeah.
And whatever actions you take from that now, you're, you know, you're in the right and they're in the wrong.
Yeah.
And that is the nature of kind of where we're at. So this kind of leads me to something that God impressed on me the other day, and I was talking to CJ today about this, and I wanted to pick your brain about this because you travel a lot more than we do, and let me promise, I don't want this to be a American church bashing, because I'm not about that. I'm not trying to do all that, because American church does plenty good.
Amen.
We do a lot well, but. Because in the line of revival, thinking of that, I was reading about the first book of Acts, and he's about to leave him, the disciples, and he tells them, go to Jerusalem, wait for the Holy Ghost, what you've heard of me. And they're like, is your kingdom coming?
Yeah.
And he says, it's not time for you to know, but just go tarry, you know, just go wait. And so it's so evident that at that moment, they still can't see the spiritual purpose, right? They're still thinking earthly kingdom. They're still thinking political freedom oppressed from oppressors. They're still thinking in that vein. And obviously, they don't have the Holy Ghost. So, you know, when they got the Holy Ghost, they switched like that, right?
Yeah.
But in that vein of the earthly kingdom mindset, and this spurred because I seen this post. There's two posts that in the past 2 days I just, ugh. their eyes were still on the earthly kingdom. The Jewish religious community missed Jesus as the Messiah because they had the exact same idea, right?
Yes.
A political leader to lead them free from oppression.
Yes.
And they missed the whole thing. As I was reading and just kind of meditating on that, I felt the Lord impressed on me that there's going to be some who missed the revival in the last day because their mind is on the earthly kingdom versus the spiritual kingdom.
Yes.
And what's really going on. And just as the disciples, they went through obedience and faith of what Jesus told them to do, they went earnestly seeking to the upper room, and the Holy Ghost fell, right? And so the two posts that I just literally, a post that somebody I know was talking about, just the whole, how the church needs to join the fight to restore our American nation. Welcome to the political pulpit.
Yes.
Was the ending phrase.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Welcome to the political pulpit.
And I interjected with him, and I said, what's funny is I see so many of these Facebook prophets or so-and-so, legit every prophecy they make, it's about the comeback of America. It's the comeback of God's watching the nations, and he's going to bring your nation through this. Like,
And so I even seen another one today. They were having a conference of how. Actually, I think I saved this, bro. Because I was like, what in the world? And so not to belabor the point, my question to you is, as you travel, I feel like I said, I believe that those who will be in tune with the Spirit are going to see that revival.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to get you to speak ill of anybody or anything like that. I didn't save it. It was literally a flyer for a conference on how the church could have world dominance by Ralph.
Oh, my.
But, like, you know, taking over the world. Like, it's crazy stuff. But anyways, just from your, you know, obviously apostolic circles, do you feel like we're more in line with spiritual aspect of the end time revival? Because I see that, and it's like I don't want to make it sound like, you know, I feel we have the right, most of our people that we know in our circles have the right mindset, but do you see that battle in the apostolic movements, or is that just something that's kind of on their fringes?
Thankfully, yeah, I feel like it's on the fringes in our apostolic movement. I feel like most people are aware that it's not an earthly kingdom.
Right.
You do run across sometimes people that just want to talk politics, right. And usually, and I don't say this disparagingly, usually it's from the older crowd, which I feel like it is necessary for the older and the younger somehow come together in the middle, because our older crowd has been through more than we have. They've seen a lot more than we have. They've been through generations of war. At least they were closer to that than we've ever been. And the younger crowd can be carefree or careless or flippant about, you know, America and its freedoms. I mean, we, a lot of times, I'm talking about myself personally, I can kind of harp on, you know, we've made our freedom our God.
Sure.
But I need to be careful in my conversation about that too, because I'm a young guy with a different kind of, you know, a lot has been handed to me.
Right.
From my elders.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't earn it.
Who fought those battles.
Yeah, they fought those battles, and so their mindset's a little different. But to answer your question, I feel like the Apostolic Church is definitely on the right track.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just sorry because I was just reading that, and it's like it just caught me. Like, first, it was just like, Lord, just I want to, you know, you always think locally, right?
Yeah.
Just like, Lord, let us continue to help, you know, just that we stay focused and be a part of this in time revival.
Sure.
Just want to be a part of this because it's happening, and I want it to continue to happen, and I'll be part of it. But it's also just that fear in the back of my head, just like, you know, just for what I know God wants to do in America, and even though we know that it's not just an American church or it's not American kingdom or gospel, but it's like this does affect, you know, the more people who are born again, it does affect, you know, the way things will run in America. But if there is any way to deal with anything like that, it would be that way, right?
Through
just transformation of the heart,
yes.
and that versus a microphone and megaphone and just Amen. Going down these. So it's just one of those things. Like I sometimes you from social media, right? You always see the loud ones,
yeah,
sure.
Or hear the loud ones, I should say. And so it's just one of those things in my head. I'm always like, are we? You know, like yeah. So that's what I wanted to see. But I don't know.
It's good.
Yeah, I'm actually glad you said that, because I was just like one of those things that has.
There is something to be said about doing the best you can, doing the most you can, to stand for righteousness, to, you know, to uphold those things. But I do feel like we've gotten it backwards. Like you said, it's got to start with heart transformation.
Sure.
And what was that? I think Paul said knowledge puffs up. Mm-hmm. You know, you can know all the right stuff. It's not going to do you any good if it doesn't come with love.
Mm-hmm.
That's love is the true transforming power. You know, that it's not enough to just have truth, to just preach truth. You got to do it with love, in love. Yeah. And so people know, you know, whether or not you have that love, or if you just have the head knowledge that you're just spouting. You know, it's like nobody cares. We know that saying, nobody cares about what you know until they know that you care. And it is true. But, yeah, I thank God for the Apostolic Church. I feel like we're on the right track, and we know it's God's kingdom.
Well, and I was telling Izzy too, like, I just think it's, and it, this was because we were talking at the park, you know, and I just said, you know, I find it funny that it seems like a lot of people think Brother Charles Robinette is just crazy because he says, I believe in a million soul revival. It's like, but he's all about kingdom, kingdom minded, yes. Kingdom this, and to the kingdom, that's not hard.
Yes.
Right. Like, it, there's 7 billion people on this planet. A million soul revivals is nothing.
It's maybe under soul selling. Right?
Yeah, for real. But we think it's crazy because we may be seeing a 2 soul revival here. And
well, it's all about his kingdom. Peter said, love the brotherhood, honor the king.
Yep.
And he was talking about the earthly king in that day who was an absolute terror to Christians.
Right. Yep.
Cut off the head of, you know, the James, cut off the head. I mean, one of Peter's closest friends, you know.
Yeah.
And he's saying, honor the king. And what I'm seeing in our culture today, and it's so easy to get caught up in this stuff, but is neither side honors the other side. You're talking about, especially America, the two-party system. They're both playing the same wicked game.
Sure.
And so to be a part of that at all, and not to lift our eyes to his kingdom. This is about his kingdom. And people will just, you know, remark about the office of the president and all that stuff. And I've been guilty of it.
Me too.
But honestly, I don't think God is pleased with that. You know, because there is no authority that is outside God's control. Like, God set that. God allowed that to happen. Not all authority is godly, but all authority is established by God. You know, he allowed it to happen.
Right.
No matter what my opinion of it is,
right.
It doesn't matter what my opinion is. God wants to know, like, what is your heart? Is your heart honoring the king?
Right.
Sure.
I mean, somebody who you feel like is absolutely against, you know, everything that you stand for, are you still going to have a heart that honors and that...
Mm. Yeah. And pray for him and
pray, love, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know, I find interesting too. And I know I've heard, you know, ministers or just people speak ill of, you know, office, people in office, or just church, just anybody, right? I've heard people. But it's like, we have this weird thing when it comes to politics. Like, being a Christian doesn't matter.
Sure. Yep. That's so true.
But what's funny is, I know those people who said things that if that person was in front of them, they wouldn't repeat it. Because they know, you know, I'm a Christian. I should treat this man with respect.
Well,
however,
yeah,
when you're not in front of them, it's okay again. And that is one of those things that's just like, I don't, you know, I'll just kind of piggybacking off what you're saying. It's just like, that's kind of the things, like, and I don't want to chase this rabbit hole too long, but it's it's just one of those things that I, you know, yeah, we, going back to family and the perfecting of ourselves, right? It's like learning that we be an example all the time. There's no time and space where that takes a break.
Yeah.
You're so right about that, man. How many times, and I think really feel like God really wants to drill this home in his people, is your mouth sabotaging your life, your what you claim to be? You were talking earlier about taking his name in vain. We can do that with our mouths. You know, our mouths can betray who we say we are. And all that is a reflection of what's inside the heart. I've got a heart issue.
Yeah.
Two wrongs don't make a right. Don't matter what I think, I've got to subject myself and surrender on an altar and say, God, get to a place, Brother CJ, like you said, where I am loving people enough to pray for them. I'm not going to talk about them.
Sure.
I'm not going to have a gossip session. All right. I'm going to pray for them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to intercede for them and be moved like with God's heart. Like when he looks at these people, you know, what does he feel?
Right.
He wishes they would be saved, you know?
Just, exactly.
That's, and ultimately with the end time goal, it's like, do you, I don't know, I feel like sometimes we get so, oh, well, you know, I don't want this to happen to my family and blah, blah, blah with this president or that president or what's going on. But it's like at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter who's president is. Jesus is going to come back regardless.
Yes.
And are we going to be a part of that? Are we going to push people away?
Amen.
I don't know. It's such a weird line.
And at the end of the day, everything that God allows is for our good. If we'll allow it to be.
Yeah.
If we have a heart that's toward him, he's going to keep us, protect us. He's not called us to something that we can't handle. He's going to be with us if we're with him.
It might even go back to our talk about trying to remove discomfort.
Yeah. But isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
That's true. I'll tell you what, that we enjoy comfortability.
Sure.
Everybody does.
I can't live without no AC, bro.
Man, for real. When you reach a comfortable spot, man, it's like, I think I'll park it right here. But it's like, no, God's got more. Yeah, but I praise God. Praise God for the church. I thank God for the church.
Amen. Amen.
And I really believe we're the church is we've crossed over a certain threshold here recently. And things are really, really happening.
That's awesome.
Praise God.
And it's And maybe even like just taking that shaking of like the pandemic, especially the American church.
Yes.
That little shaking.
Yes.
Just kind of like, okay, what are we doing here? Let's get,
Amen.
Let's get focused, man.
Everything that can be will be, so that the things which cannot be will remain. That's what Hebrews said. So if that's what it takes, God, and ultimately that should be our prayer. Like whatever it takes, I want to be saved. I don't care. Like if it,
yeah.
Yeah, my flesh doesn't want anything hard, but, like, I need to be saved.
Yeah.
I need my wife to be saved. I need my kids to be saved. I need my churches, my friends, my family to be saved. So whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. And it may take, like...
doing the hard things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Man, bro.
I think that's the title of your podcast.
Bro. Doing the hard things?
Fatherhood, doing the hard things.
That's tight, bro. Oh, snap. Praise God. Well, Joe, as a new dad, you got any new dad jokes? Such a spiritual moment. I just want to end it with carnality. No, I'm just kidding. No.
I'm trying to think of some jokes that I heard today.
from our father-in-law?
I don't have a good memory. That's my problem.
Horrible.
I can't retain.
Yeah, but you were a Bible quizzer.
I have to Google.
No,
believe me, I'm the same way. I've heard every joke from my father-in-law, and I don't remember.
Oh, dude, your father-in-law.
I got about three of them.
I think every time if I'm there, it's like almost every other word is a joke out of that guy's mouth.
I've learned not to react. Because he might say something, and you're like, that sounds like a legit, like, so I was at the store the other day, and I'm just like, you went, oh, yeah. He got you. So he's like, he got you, bro.
One of my favorite memories of your father-in-law, though, we were staying at his house, and it was for some youth thing or whatever. And we walked in. It was maybe like 1 o'clock in the morning, bro. We were just getting in so late. Open up the door. The house is dark, but he's sitting in the kitchen eating Butter Crunch. And I was like, wow, you eating butter? He's like, yeah, and it's mine. You can't touch it. And I was like, all right, man. He's all, there's other cruddy ice cream in there. But you know what? Let's end this with prayer. I think this is a great conversation. Amen. Great talk.
Go ahead and lead us, bro.
Jesus, we love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done, God, and that you all continue to do. Lord, I pray that you continue to work not only just in us and in our cities and in our towns, God, but you continue to work as a whole into the whole world. God, sending your gospel to everyone who would need it. God, I pray that if there are people that are listening to this that have felt empty, God, that have felt discouraged, that felt like they can't, I pray that they've listened to this and that, Lord, that they get encouraged with the hope, the glorious gospel that you came, Lord. You give us hope that we can be saved, Lord. So I pray, Jesus, that you would continue to move. I pray that somebody would be healed in Jesus' name, God, and through this podcast. I pray somebody would come out and just say, you know what? I'm going to conquer the hard thing, and I'm going to see you move in my city, in my town, and, Lord, in my life. I praise you, and I worship you in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. And we'll just end it like this. Somebody just say, come on, somebody.